opportunity to evaluate the program without there being up to a 10-year extension without council oversight. And the third question, Commander, I have for you is, with respect to the four officers that are under the control of Clean and Safe, as the four sworn officers who are dispatched by Clean and Safe, subject to a sergeant's oversight, how does the Bureau evaluate the effectiveness of their work? We talk a lot about accountability. We get regular reports on the overall Bureau force. But with respect to these four, how do we track their performance? And what kind of information is available to us to better understand the job they're doing?
I receive a monthly summary from all of the units that work downtown, not just with the bicycle officers that we commonly refer to being assigned to the Clean and Safe program, but also from the Mountain Patrol unit, really from through the Downtown Security Network. I also actually get information from, you know, Macy's, Pioneer Square, a lot of the security networks downtown. So their work's evaluated, and they provide that report to me on a monthly basis so that I can then, you know, obviously in communication with the PBA, as well as internally make sure they're meeting our goals and our standards, and that's something that I can make available, you know, to the council or to others in terms of the work that's being done. So there is a report generated every month.
Okay, thank you. Mayor, would you accept a friendly amendment on the term?
I think because it's a contract, we need to do an official amendment. But yeah. You're moving to limit it to...
Let this be a 5-year extension, and we just delete the automatic renewal provision so that within the next 5 years, this comes back to us for renewal.
Well, it's been moved and seconded.
This, I think, has an emergency clause, so I think we need four on the amendment if we're going to pass it as an emergency
amendment. Okay. Does this create a timing problem?
I believe the contract expires June 30th, so I don't know timing-wise.
Okay. As long as it's an emergency next week, we're okay.
Okay.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. The motion, any problems with that? No? Okay. Carla, can you please call the vote on the motion? Not for an amendment, we just need 3 votes. Great. No? Because we're going to hear it again next week. We're taking
the
emergency.
Oh, you are going to hear it next week?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you were going to vote on it today as an emergency.
No, we'll vote on it next week as an emergency.
Okay,
just
that's fine.
Very, very conservative in our approach. Please call the vote on the motion.
Fritz. I'm sorry. Sauce. Fish.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. We're taking testimony.
Yeah, we're taking testimony. Yeah. Lene Burr, former police chief, assistant chief. You've had a variety of careers in the police bureau. Can you give us your thoughts on what's before us?
Certainly. I am currently the Executive Director of Clean and Safe and Vice President of Downtown Services for the Portland Business Alliance. As you know, the mission of Clean and Safe District is to be a steward for the protection and operation of downtown Portland as an attractive, safe, and vibrant place in which to work, shop, live, and play. The Clean and Safe District, as Commander Day has said, has
So
come
I have to, I apologize, I have to pause. Council is in recess because we lost our quorum, but let me go get them. I don't want your testimony to be wasted.
I'm the one with the excused absence for right now.
I'm not a field person, I'm not out there talking.
All right, please continue.
As Commander Day has said, Clean and Safe and PBA has contracted with the Police Bureau for police officer services in the past for nearly 15 years. This contract really assists in building and maintaining public confidence in the security and safety of the Clean and Safe District by the deployment of additional officers in support of the mission of the district through crime prevention, proactive enforcement action, and public safety problem solving. As with other contracted police services, such as TriMet, these police officers will be directly supervised by a police bureau sergeant and will adhere to all bureau and city policies and procedures. This partnership has contributed to the significant decreases in crime in downtown Portland and has resulted in a downtown that feels like a safe neighborhood. Thank you.
And if there are, if someone has a complaint, maybe we could talk a little bit about the complaint process. If someone has a complaint about any of the security functions of Portland, of the PDA, if you could talk a little bit about that. In terms of our officers, it is a normal complaint process for our officers, regardless of whether they're being paid by PBA or not. Is that true?
Correct.
Exactly. And if it's a complaint against the contracted security officers, there are two routes that a citizen could take. They can make a complaint directly to DPSST about the conduct, and they also can complain to the security provider, which is PPI. They take the complaint, they interview the witnesses, the complainant, and the officer. They do a thorough investigation, and at the end of the investigation, they make a finding about whether the complaint is sustained or not. And if it's sustained, they often make changes in policy, contemplate training changes. All of that information is forwarded to me quarterly with a summary of the complaint and the information and how it was handled. And then I forward that directly to your office or whoever is the commissioner in charge of police.
Great.
And it's the only, by the way, the only contract with the city of Portland where we have security that has a formal complaint process. There are other security providers who do not have a formal complaint process.
That's true. All right, thank you. We'll now take testimony.
There is a personal privilege. Unfortunately, I have to go. I apologize to citizens who are here. I'll be sure to watch the tape. But in the meantime, we need to get Commissioner Fish back.
I'll go get Commissioner Fish. Why don't you call a host to testify for us?
Dan Hemelman.
Commissioner Fish has a TV interview, so we'll pause until he's done. You can go ahead and take off on the interview. We'll take a little recess here. Does anyone else wish to testify on this matter? You can go ahead and take a seat up. Right. Then we'll be in recess for the time.
Anymore without a disclaimer that they have the option of pulling items out.
I have no idea they're going to do that.
They rarely do that, but I should always warn people. But with people leaving today, you know, they are just pushing everything.
But I'm not, what I'm telling you, am I?
All right, we're back in session. No, Mr. Handelman.
Oh, that's okay.
I'm supposed to see what the children's club got a flood over there.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Dan Hiddleman. And we actually pulled this item off the consent agenda back in April because we have concerns going back as long as we've been noticing the contract on the city council agenda. When we talked about it, the last time it came up, we asked the question, if Portland Cop Watch had the money, could we hire our own police officers too and have them do what we want? Because it seems like that's what the Portland Business Alliance is doing through this contract. I'm very glad to hear Commissioner Fish's amendment to prevent the automatic possible extension to 10 years. But in fact, the previous contract said this contract will last for 5 years and no way will it ever be extended past 10 years. And now, essentially, you're extending it again another 5 years. So I don't understand the point of having that kind of language if you're just going to automatically renew the contract without having more public discussion. It's bad enough when the PBA exerts pressure on the city to enact bad policies like CIDLI and the anti-camp ordinance and crack down on certain types of people who are downtown, who are usually homeless people and poor people and protesters. But to give them the ability to pay for their own officers allows them to then decide what laws are going to enforce. And I think that part of the report back and the evaluation has to be what kinds of criminal activity and what kinds of people are being targeted by these specific officers. I think I heard Commander Day say there were four, and I heard, I call her Assistant Chief Burke because that was her last title, say that there were three. My reading of the contract is that there are three officers being paid for by this. So it sort of seems like this is a really, albeit this has existed for a while, this is part of the issue of privatizing our public employees, our public systems, things that where everybody pays into a pool of money that becomes our tax money, and then the city council decides how to spend that. But when a business alliance gets to decide how to spend the money and who, and how the laws are going to be enforced, it really becomes a society for the rich. And so this is taking the public and private partnership idea a little too far. Again, it would be great to add a report back on exactly how these three officers who get called in by Clean and Safe people on a regular basis and have to respond to their radio calls unless there's some other kind of emergency, how their enforcement differs from other officers. It was also interesting to hear about the complaint system, and while I appreciate that Assistant Chief Burke says that they're private, they do have a complaint system, and they make a report to the commissioner in charge. My understanding is that the outcome of those complaints is actually private because the security guards, the PPI security guards, are private employees, so there's no reason to even tell the complainant what the outcome was, because I know somebody who actually filed such a complaint in the last few years, and she couldn't find out whether it was sustained or not. But we are talking about the police, and it is good that our police are covered under the IPR complaint system. So I guess the last thing to note is that Chief Berg is now in charge of the Clean and Safe program. The PPI is run by a former police officer, and many of the officers in that are former police officers, and there seems to be a very, very close, tight-knit relationship between this private security and private police and our port police, and that's also a concern.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. All right, this will move to, one thing for the record to make it really clear to underscore what the commander said, and that is the officers that are former police officers are under the direct command of our supervisors, and we decide, or they decide through the chain of command, how those officers are deployed, and they fall under all the normal outside independent review. If folks have complained about these officers, then that's why we have IPR and encourage them to use it. So this moves to consideration as an emergency ordinance. Next week. All right, can you please read the title for item number, I'll be at 659?
Yes.
Okay. That's an emergency.
Approved.
I'm going to read it and carry it over to the afternoon, but she has to read the title first.
Approved fiscal year 2012-13 cost of living adjustments to pay rates for non-represented classifications and elected officials, specify the effect upon employees in the classifications involved, and provide for payment.
Unless there's objection, this item is moved to the afternoon council agenda. So done. Can you please read the title, non-emergency ordinance, item number 660.
Authorize water revenue bonds to finance water system capital improvements.
Commissioner Leonard.
Director Shrek.
We're going to pass it over to Jonas to start.
Great. Mr. Mayor, Commissioners, Jonas Beery, City's debt manager. This non-emergency ordinance authorizes issuance of water revenue bonds to finance up to $75 million of expenditures of the Water Bureau Capital Improvement Program. Additionally, the bonds will be sized to include cost of issuance and legally required reserves. The bonds will mature over a period of no more than 25 years and will be payable solely from revenues of the water system. We expect to sell the bonds via competitive bidding in July 2012.
I'm David Chapp. I'm the director of the Water Bureau. With me is Finance Director Dave Hassan. We're here to answer questions, but very briefly, as you know, we use bonds to fund the majority of our capital improvement program, which this coming use these, the bond proceeds of this bond, upcoming bond sales, primarily for the two large projects that we have currently under construction, the Dam 2 Tower project and the Alamut 2 Reservoir project.
So this is, this makes no decisions about future projects?
No, those, it just gives us the revenue. You will make decisions about future projects as those projects come before you.
Okay. Additional council discussion? Let's go to testimony.
We have five people signed up. First three, please come on up, are Joe Walsh, Nancy Newell, and Jesse Sponberg.
Nancy's not here.
Okay, thank you. And let's go with Miriam Gresham.
Mayor Gresham, did you say?
That'll be me.
Oh,
Miriam Gresham.
Miriam Gurman. I thought
we had the mayor of Gresham. Mr. Walsh.
Once again, I do represent the Oregon Progressive Party. So when I speak, it's their position also. We object to this. The $75 million should be, and you have the ability to put that on a ballot. If you defer it, it will go on the ballot according to the regulation. So we are asking you that since we're talking about $75 million, that you ask the people of Portland whether we should spend this money on the continuation of the construction sites that are in direct opposition of what everybody is saying is don't do it. Don't build those tanks. Don't do anything to Bull Run. And we would like the people of Portland to make that decision and not you. Thank you.
Hi, welcome back.
Hey guys, I don't have a lot to say today. I just want you guys to get real sick of seeing me, so I came in today.
Could you say what is your name, please?
My name is Jesse Sponberg. I live in Selwood. I'm real uncomfortable with passing these open-ended allotments of money. You know, we just came here last week and watched you say that the money that was being passed wasn't to cover the reservoirs. And then after I left you, I went to lunch and actually saw the actual wording that said this money will be used to cover reservoirs. And you have these open positions that you don't, that you're still funding these positions, but nobody's in them yet. And now you want $75 million for unnamed projects. It seems like there's this real sinister pattern of allocating these funds to go to these places, but without, you know, pulling the sheet back and showing the citizens of Portland what you're really doing. It seems like there's a lot of just like putting money here for no reason, when to anybody else who's reading stuff like this, we can see the reasons, but it seems very dishonest not to be sincere about where this money is going to end up going. So I would like to lead my position towards Joe's and ask that you put this up for a vote and don't just do this. Quit giving these guys money and just giving them money and giving them money when they're not even telling you what it's for. And I saw you guys last week express, you guys yourselves were kind of uncomfortable with these positions that are nameless positions, not sure. We know what they're going to be. They're going to be consultants and construction workers. You know, I've seen the aerial photographs of Bull Run, like I told you last week. I've seen the construction. No, that's cool. I wasn't talking or nothing. I can wait.
On occasion, our city clerk has to consult with council members.
Did my time stop?
It's okay. 15 more seconds that took.
I won't take it off. I just really am curious why it's so important that all this stuff is done when you are on your way out the door. Like, what legacy are you trying to fill? Are you trying to fill your own legacy so you set yourself up for some kind of gig in the future? Or are you really looking to be the Randy Leonard that you used to be? You know, when your political career was in front of you and you championed the water and you were the voice of the people. I saw a picture the other day where somebody from the reservoir people knighted you. I guarantee she would not be knighting you right now, and it's just really depressing to think that you're setting us up for a future that you're probably not even going to be participating in. Why do we have to do this before the next guy comes to take that chair or to take the head of the Water Bureau? I just don't understand that part. If you could maybe make it a little clearer, I would appreciate that.
I'm happy to.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it.
Because I'm doing what the federal government has directed us to do now. Well,
we have a lot of time to do that.
I'm happy to engage in a respectful...
So you asked for his response. He's given it to you. And we all listened to Jesse's comments without anybody making noise. Let's have a discussion.
I mean, I'm preparing for a council informal in which I'm going to bring documents that I've sent to the entire council has signed, that I've sent to United States Senator Jeff Merkley, asking to work towards a legislative fix. I'm going to bring documents that explain the lawsuit that we challenged. I'm going to explain every step in the process where we've ended up where we are. And what you're basically asking the city to do is put itself in a position where I promise you the federal government will come in, take over the project, charge the city a lot more than what it would otherwise cost to build replacement reservoirs and fine the city. That's where what you're asking us will lead to. And I cannot in good conscience do that. And you can call me names, and as you have these last two sessions, and say what you want, but I am doing my job the best I can. I ask all the questions that need to be asked, look for whatever way we can minimize the cost. I got us a variance from having to do the treatment system by being dogged, by finding just a little crack in the rule. And I think you're being exceedingly mean-spirited and unfair every time you come up here, and it doesn't help. And that's why I think it needs to be done before I leave, because I don't think anybody else should be the object of the venom that you display here.
Oh, sir, with all due respect, don't be a martyr, okay? You're not a martyr.
I'm not a martyr. I'm doing my job.
You're actually offended that you're trying to paint yourself as a role of a
victim. I'm doing my job.
So what's going to look more important? All right. 15 seconds you promised me.
No, I gave you more than 15 seconds. You asked for his response. He gave you... No, I gave you extra 15 seconds. You asked for his response. He gave it to you. I'm not going to continue this.
15 more seconds, Mr. Mayor, please.
No, you got more than you usually get, and you said you wouldn't use up your whole time either. So... You got a response. Right. You asked for him to respond. He responded. So, hi, welcome, Mayor Gresham.
That was funny. Thanks for that slip.
It says Gresham. It says Miriam Gresham.
That's okay. My name is Miriam Gurman.
Okay.
I live in Portland, the non-mayor. I am, however, somebody involved with the anti-NIC movement here. And the reason that I'm bringing it up is my concern with spending the money to cap our reservoir or reservoirs in the future, is that the whole cryptosporidium debate, I don't know if it's ended yet. I can't wait for it to end because it's ridiculous. The debate and the discussion should be around what's coming in from Fukushima in our water, and that is not being talked about here. If it's being talked about, it's very quiet, and I'm not all right with that. I'd love to see the money that's been set aside for future unnamed projects to be put aside for a named project, which would be protecting our water or protecting the citizens in case the radiation from Fukushima comes in and really does affect our mountain and our water. So one of the things that we've done, and I'm here to share it with you, and also, Mayor, thank you, is we've purchased a Geiger counter. It's a really powerful Geiger counter, and it works. And we're going to be taking, I don't even know how to even talk about this yet, readings around Portland, around Oregon, in different places, and we're going to be posting these things. We're going to be testing water as well, because nobody else is testing. And the people who should be testing are the Oregon Department of Health. It's all in place. The Washington Department of Health is currently testing. They're testing fish and they're testing water. If we're testing at all, it's very random and it's not happening enough and nobody's telling us the results. And quite honestly, I wouldn't trust the results at the moment anyway. So what I'm asking for is to take some responsibility. When these goons come in here and tell you that they want this additional money set aside for unnamed projects, which are really going to go, like Jesse said, to their contractors' wallets, we really need to take effect now, ahead of schedule. Well, it's not even ahead, we're behind the game. And set money aside for what's going to happen with our people here with water, because we can't protect it from radiation. If it's falling, it's falling, and there's nothing we can do to clean it out. If we're going to take what's happening with our reservoirs and divert in the future to using the Columbia, that's not an option. The Columbia's got Hanford nuclear waste in it, and the plume from Hanford is on its way as well to make that even worse. So I am asking that we look at the extra money and we do set it aside for something, and that's the protection of our citizens here regarding the water. Mayor, is it okay if I come up and give you this? It's for you. It's
okay. Sure.
Thank you.
It's okay.
And if you all ever need to borrow this guy or Kenner, we can talk about that. Thank you for your testimony.
Anybody else to testify?
Yes. The last person who signed up is Beth Jean Siracusa.
Happened with getting some stuff clear, being really honest with the people of Portland so we don't have to wake up angry. And I'm also wondering if I were to get in touch with the library today and ask what the population of Multnomah County is, if you would all honor what the library said so that if we chose to run really fast and get a lot of signatures. I believe we have 30 days on this water bond to stop. Thank you.
All right. Unless there's additional discussion from council, it moves to further consideration next week, and we're in recess until 2 o'clock.
We need to make a decision.
Oh, I'm sorry. Right. can you please read the title of the item that was pulled?
Right. 645, authorize a contract and provide payment for Fire Station 21 boathouses.
So we need to add an emergency.
It is an emergency already, but it needs to be amended, and they would like to hear it this afternoon.
And I would actually appreciate having the opportunity to have Commissioner Saltzman here because I think it's important. Excuse me.
Mr. Walsh, come on. Quiet.
I think it's important for the council have a wider discussion about the project and some of the problems that I've encountered with the timeline specifically. I want Commissioner Saltzman present for that discussion.
So you want to hold it to the afternoon?
Yes, please.
Okay, unless there's objection, 6:46 is moved.
We can hold the afternoon. I noticed that we've got a 90-minute presentation, three other presentations, another thing we've just kicked over.
This should not take long.
Okay.
All right. So 6:46 is moved to consideration in the afternoon session, and we now are.
Can I go up there?
Just want to pick your voice up on the recording, that's all.
I'm sorry. I don't want to.